you generally can sometimes feel as if I was in the military, you're just a number.
Most of my experiences have been really good, but then sometimes it's the complete opposite, and you're right, you're like a number and you're replaceable.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton, and welcome to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes in the world of sport and entertainment, and in particular, the world of the talent agency. Maybe you want to get involved in the industry yourself, maybe you already are, or maybe you're just interested in how things work. Whatever the answer, we are here to bring you honest insight into our work. On this episode, we chat to Lynn Young, ballerina turned elite parkour athlete, and Corbin Mackin, international obstacle course racing sensation, about what it's like to be catapulted into the spotlight just because you like moving around obstacles.
Honestly, I'm not quite sure. I just treat it as work, so I'm not eager to be in front of a camera. It's not like, oh, I wanted to do this job so I could be on TV or could be on camera, but I love what I do off the camera when I train, so that's why I don't mind then doing it in front of a camera, because I just treat it as part of the job.
Oh wow, so the bit on camera that everyone else is chasing after is actually your punishment for getting to spend the rest of your time doing what you love.
Pretty much, it's so that I can do what I love and pay the bills.
It sounds like that comes easy for you, being on camera, and I bet you probably don't even get anxious either, do you?
Oh no, that's not true at all.
I just say, I was just thinking, God, that seems like my dream job without the anxiety. I was like, this is fantastic. Tell me more. But yeah, no, mine's different than that. And the example of why I went to compete and the reasons behind competing was for something personal for me, and that was, as some would know, when I left Afghanistan and leaving Afghanistan due to the death of my older brother, and that hurt me, that broke me down, and I needed to feel a sense of purpose in life again. And I knew I was always good at obstacle courses in the military. That's where I found that I was good at something, because I was generally always in the front of all my training. And from there, and finding to feel that need of a purpose again from the military, I seen Ninja Warrior come up as an application for it, and I read it. I didn't know anything about it. And everyone that I found out in the end that knew about it was like, Sasuke class! And I was like, well, Sasuke, are you kidding me? This is Ninja Warrior, but the UK's version of it? I didn't have a clue. I just read, and the small print was obstacle course racing. I was like, I'm in. And that there was where I started to find a bit of a purpose and goals to work towards for not only my mental health, but my physical health.
So you've both got into it for really good reasons, right? Hmm. Corbin's like, okay, cool, mental and physical health. This gives me a sense of purpose. Lynn's going, I love to do this. This is my dream. Can I turn it into a job? But then you have to work with all the people in the entertainment industry. And the entertainment industry actually isn't necessarily a magnet for people who are looking for just purpose, mental well-being, and to be able to keep fit, right? Often it is for people that want to be on camera, and you get treated in quite a specific way because people go, oh my God, like being on camera is the most sought after thing in the world. So if I'm in a production company, I can treat you however. What's your experience there?
To be fair, most of my experience has been pretty good. I've been also quite lucky that a lot of my work was commercial work for brands. So it's like short filming days, right? Not the filming days itself, but it's a short period of time where I film with the crew. And often I got to be the main character in those, or I get to be. So then there's not that many people involved. It's not as much talent in front of the camera that's fighting for their spot. When you work on TV and films, more specifically, there's lots of people usually in front of the camera, and you try and, well, I don't really try, to be honest, I'm not that type of person, but it's loads of people trying to be in the foreground. So even if you get placement, you get choreographed to be in a certain spot, all of a sudden some people that were maybe further back, all of a sudden they're in front of you, and you don't know how to deal with that, because yeah, there is a lot of big personalities in the industry. But I think there's a mix of people, like you meet the same people you meet in life, you meet also in that industry. Sometimes good, sometimes more challenging, but always quite interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. You generally can sometimes feel as if you're like, as if I was in the military, you're just a number. You're just there to fill a void, yeah, to fill a gap, and you're very much not treated as such, of that level of like, how to explain it? So they don't understand the amount of blood, sweat and tears that goes into trying to go and compete on a show, or and the amount of money you lose and stuff like that for that competition. So that's completely overlooked. And I find that sometimes there should be a bit more given to some of the athletes for these shows, like not just the athletic shows, but shows in general. There's very much not enough given to the shows where I feel like they're trying to set a good example for the younger generation.
Do you feel cared for?
Sometimes yes, sometimes actually. Most of my experiences have been really good, and there is a level of care, definitely. But then sometimes it's the complete opposite, and you're right, you're like a number, and you're replaceable. You're also not, I think sometimes the human aspect is lacking. So if you give performance, obviously that's really demanding on your body, especially if you just come off a long, like long distance flight. You might be jet lagged, you might not have the food that you normally have, and then you require to do, like to perform, you need your body. And people don't necessarily understand when there needs to be breaks. Or when there's a break, there's actually a break, rather than you still have to think about stuff. So sometimes you do get overworked, but that's why it's like important to just almost set boundaries from the start. So be quite a strong personality in terms of knowing when to say, okay, now we need a break, and then we can go, and then I can give you this many more takes before we need another break. So just knowing yourself really well, and then establishing those boundaries to make sure that you get cared for. But all in all, my experience has been quite good, but also I think it's the fact that I haven't been so much on TV shows where there's like massive castings, and a lot of people really, really want to be on TV and in shows, and obviously production knows that, so your number.
They give them less, yeah.
And you're replaceable, you're literally just like shoved out of the way if you demand something or cause problems, while in working with brands on campaigns is slightly different, I think. Mm-hmm.
All right, money. You talked about money a few times, Corbin. What is it like going from an upbringing where there's not a lot of money around,
oh, you're poor,
to going and actually serving your country and still not having a particularly phenomenal wage for putting yourself in danger's way every day, to suddenly competing on TV shows with these prize pots that might be more for winning one show than you had for a year for being in the army, and being given money for one Instagram post that might be the same as your monthly wage when you're actually going to war?
Yeah. It's difficult to take on board, really. But as I said originally, like, it's never been about the money for me personally, and I do have my own day job. It's always nice to also get given something for that loss of work. And like I said, and just some money for the amount of hours you've put in, it would be nice. Just, you know, you could just treat yourself to something, whether it's just a breakaway, you know, a pat on the back to yourself from all that work you've put in. But like I said, it's not about the money. It's mainly to me about what I can then help with the mental health side of things, with the people that are struggling out there. And it's trying to give them that purpose again in life and show them about how I overcome and deal with my own personal issues and problems I've dealt with.
It's also true that what you said, it's the work you put in. Like when I started getting into like first semi-professional parkour, then professional parkour, for me it was actually quite, because I was at uni and I was a waitress as well on the side, because that's a student job. It's a lot of hard work and it's very little money on the other side. And then I started getting paid to just do a few flips that I enjoyed doing anyways. And it was quite a bit of money. Now looking back, I'm like, okay, it really wasn't that much money back then. But for me, it was a lot of money. And it was quite hard because, like, why do I get this much money for, like, one day of work? But then as it went on, I understood it's like I don't get paid to do this day of work. I get paid for the years and years that I've actually learned these skills, yeah, so I can do this on this day safely, and like there's a constant. It's not like maybe today I can do it, but maybe not. But you really train to do and perform whenever you do get booked on a job. And also it's that kind of work where you might get injured, so it's quite high risk. If you don't get injured, you can't work for X amount of time. So when you do work, it needs to financially make sense, and you need to be able to pay the bills even when you're injured.
Presumably, Lynn, you've actually had some opportunities because of diverse casting, because in sport often people will gravitate towards the guys who start it and physically maybe are capable of some things that the girls can't do. And at some point someone's probably said, well, no, you need a female athlete in here. And you've gone, okay, I only need to be the best in the world out of the girls.
Yeah. So actually, and again, I consider myself quite lucky, because I think I kind of entered the scene at a time where, in the commercial world at least, in like advertisement, it was quite trendy to have a woman do an action sport, because now you don't just show a woman, which already ticks a box, but she's doing something that normally men do, so you double tick, and often it is a ticking box exercise. So you do get, or I think I've gotten jobs because there's like always two guys usually. It used to be just two guys, then it used to be one white guy. They also have to tick the person of colour in there, and then there wasn't any black women doing parkour in, at least in the UK. When I started, there was very few women around, so, and then a woman. So you get given these opportunities. I've also missed out on opportunities because of it as well, because I didn't tick the box enough, for example, because they already have the blonde guy. So then I've been asked in one job that was actually penciled in for, I was told that a client was really big on diversity, so they asked if I could dye my hair darker. And then the third person was a friend from Portugal who has darker skin, and it was, to me, that was like a little bit eye-opening. I was like, so do miss out on opportunities as well, but it's gotten better, I have to say. Like, from starting off to now, the industry has changed quite a bit to more equality. And the other day I was talking to a potential client, putting together a group of three athletes as well, and they said, oh, they'd be quite happy if there was two women, and they brought it up themselves. So I think it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. Lynn said when she was starting out in parkour, it was unusual to see a woman doing an action sport, which is seen as typically masculine. But you have a little girl who you get to do every single thing that you do. What has made you take that approach?
Well, because I wanted a boy, didn't I, originally? No, I didn't have a boy. I had to account for, you're doing all the boy stuff. Obviously, that's, you know, just figure of speech. But I just want to push her limits as much as she can and see where it takes her. You know, I feel like we've seen, like, people like yourself, Lynn, doing some incredible and amazing things. I would love River to inspire to be, like, have a piece of, like, you, like, with what you've done and like the parkour side of things and the gymnast side of things. I'd love River to do all that sort of stuff. And I think it's changing, especially for women's sports. I think they're getting a lot more opportunity and they are pushing for it. And sooner or later, we're going to see a lot of them and a lot of big competitions coming up for both sides, especially in parkour, and maybe River could be a part of it if I guide her to some extent. But she would have to choose eventually. Can't completely push them into it. You are doing it. You're grounded. I can't quite be like that. But if she enjoys it, brilliant. If she doesn't, well, so be it. I've tried, but you can only give them the opportunity, can't you? And then it's whether they take it and enjoy it.
If you were speaking to someone from the next generation with no natural advantages in life, like no network, no particular easy access to money, no idea how the system works, but they're really passionate and they want to get into what you guys do, what one piece of advice would you give them?
I'd say for parkour specifically, I know travelling is always also a money thing, but train with as many people as you can, different people, talk to as many different people, and copy people. If it worked for someone, not in terms of movement, don't copy people's movement, that's not what it's about, but if you see someone who succeeded, just, you can always approach people online. I mean, you can just go online and talk to people that are very far away, ask them how they've done it, and just try and almost recreate those steps. It's also one of the very like basic things to have when you try to get jobs in parkour or in any like commercial world, is you have to have headshots. They don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be professional. It helps because obviously they look a little bit nicer, but people need to see your face. They need to know who you are. Otherwise, they're not going to hire you. Have your body like measurements. You need to know how tall you are, what your sizes are, and then just be keen to work and get any opportunity. Even like at first, I did loads of unpaid work, which I don't think is an amazing thing to do, but also I think it gives you experience. If you don't have experience, you can't expect people to hire you only because you might have the skills, because it's more than just being good at what you do in terms of movement, but you need to learn kind of the ropes of everything around it. So any opportunity you can get and learn from as many people as you can.
Thanks so much to Lynn and Corbin for joining us for this episode. We'd love to hear what you think. Please keep in touch at Good Vibes Only Talent. And please, please tune in next time. Thank you.